Lots happening today. Recognition of new members, the new summer intern. This is exciting to get things rolling for the summer. We are 3 weeks into, 2 weeks past, third week into a new sermon series. We are working through a six-week series on John's letter, 1 John. He wrote three of them, but conveniently the organizers of the New Testament put all three of them together. They're closer to the back of your New Testament. And I would invite you now to open to 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 18. John writes, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is this liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we could only be but grateful for these wise words of Scripture, given to us, Lord, by the Apostle John in his later years. We thank you, Lord, for his ministry, his words, this letter, that they have been preserved over time and many hours, and that we have them here today before us, conveniently located in a book. Lord, we pray that we might stand upon the promises and that we might yield to this warning and that we might always remain in you. And so, Lord, we pray this day that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be grounded in the truth of your Spirit, truth of your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll begin with an interesting thing that happened to me yesterday. Probably something that many of us do from day to day. And that is, we type an address in this cool little thing called a GPS, and we trust it completely to get us to our destination. We do this to the point where we almost forget that there used to be maps. Or before GPS, you would Google directions and print them out and follow a step-by-step directions on a piece of paper on your car. That's what I used to do. Well, so yesterday morning, and this morning as well, my wife will get in her car, and the family will travel over to Austintown for a baseball tournament. We had to get up at the break of dawn yesterday, and my son was like, "Why does a game have to be so early?" And we're rushing around, and we're trying to get out of the house, and of course it's difficult because the royal wedding was also on, and the girls wanted to watch that. And so finally, we're about 15 minutes past our intended departure time, and we're both scrambling around trying to figure out an address to where we can go so that we can type it in to our GPS. And so she puts it in, and we go, and we get all the way into Ohio, and we cross over, and we get off the interstate, and we come in, and we find ourselves within a mile or two of our destination, and our GPS keeps running us around in this circle. Why? Because there was a detour, something the GPS couldn't see. And so now we're trying to find a map or pull up Google Maps and work our way around this detour. And it reminded me that you're intending to go somewhere and you're on the wrong route, you won't get there. As a wise preacher once said, if a man intends to go from New York to Chicago, he can have the best intentions of getting there, but if his map is leading him to Los Angeles, he'll never get there. So what we follow matters. Where we're going, the only way to get there is to follow the right way. That's sort of what John is talking about here today. John is saying what you believe matters. Truth matters. The way, the life, and the truth of Jesus Christ matters. And if you're not on that course, following that truth, you're being deceived. You're being lied to. You see, the entire letter of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, can be summed up in sort of three categories, three paradoxes. There is light, and there is darkness. Tom Wilson spoke about that 2 weeks ago. There is love, and there is hatred. I spoke about that last week. There is truth, and there is lies. And our faith, and our walk, and our belief in God is always lived within those three dueling realities. Light and darkness is a testament of what God has done for us. Without God's intervening into our world, into our life, through the Son of Jesus Christ, without His incarnation into this world, and His revelation of who God is, we would all be living in darkness, guided by our own sense of direction. But God has come into this dark world, this broken world ruled by sin, and He has shined light through it that we might all see our way through this world. Light and darkness is a testimony of what God has done for us. Amen? He's given us light that we might live in a world bound and ruled by darkness. Amen? That's what John is teaching. Then John says, within this light, as we're drawn together and we want to live and walk in light together, this is called fellowship, this is what we all have here, within this light, we must actually love one another. We must walk together in this light. We need each other. It's so critical part of who the church is that Grandfather John here writes to his dear children, and he says, folks, love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. If a brother says he believes in Jesus but hates his brother, he's lying. But those who say they believe in Jesus but love one another obey God. That is what John is saying. Love and hatred is the reality of our life together, but in Christ we live in love. So light and darkness, a testimony of what God has done for us. Love and hatred is a command in ways we should live within the light. And then today, John introduces his third main point of all of his writings, and that is truth and deceit. This is what we believe. And what we believe matters. I believed that GPS was going to get me straight to that ball field. And I believed it regardless of anything, and I just followed it. And what I didn't realize is it was leading me straight to a detour. See? What we believe matters. How we live and love one another matters. It's all part of God's light that He's given us in this dark world. And so, today, John lays out a simple warning about this truth and this deceit that is among us. And he says, "Dear children," that's the wrong sermon title. Darn it. That's last week. So much for the dramatic, right? He says, "Dear children, beware of liars." Darn it. That's a good thing about having two services. You can fix those mistakes at the second service. "Dear children, beware of the liars, beware of the deceivers, beware of those that are seeking to lead you astray or to lead you straight to a detour." And so, who are these liars? We live in this world in which there's truth and deceit, truth and lies. How do we know? How do we know who the liars are? How do you know I'm not a liar? That I'm just feeding you deceit and lies. How has the church existed for nearly 2,000 years, living in this dueling reality of people who speak forth truth and those who speak forth lies? Well, first of all, let me put this entire teaching in the context of John's world, because that's helpful for us to understand how to apply it to our world. You see, in John's day, his children, his people, were fearing the last hour. Did you hear that part when I read it? He says, "Dear children, we are living in the last hour. And you have heard it said that the Antichrist is coming." But what he says is, "I want you to know the Antichrists are already here, and we're already living in the last hour." Now, there are people that actually felt in that time that Jesus was coming back any minute, and their hour that they were living in was actually a specific time, and Jesus was coming back to rescue them from the Antichrist. And John, in a way in which he frames his argument, says, hold on. Most scholars and most theologians, when John writes about the last hour, he's not dealing with a specific time, as we are ruled by the clock and the hour of 60 minutes, but this is a reference to the age of the church. That the age or the hour of the church, which is still happening, obviously, is a time in which there will be antichrists who are trying to pull people away from the church, away from God, away from their faith. This is the antichrist. And so I want you to understand here that When we speak of the last hour, we are speaking of the last age, the last time. And it's the age of the church. It's the period of time that God has given humanity to live out the church. It seems to be right that today is Pentecost. We celebrate the church. The church began at Pentecost, and that hour of the church has been extending all through generations upon generations and centuries, and we are living within an age of the church, and the closure of that hour, of that age, will be when Christ returns and consumes all things to His glory. That time, that place, we do not know when it will be. It could be any hour now. It could be any century beyond. But the last hour in which the Scriptures are referring to here is the age of the church, from John to Augie to whoever be standing here in maybe 100 years from now, or until we are all gathered up by Jesus upon His return. Now, that's going to be a cool day. But until then, we are living in the last hour. John and his church lived in the last hours. We here are living in the last hours. It's the age of the church. And so we always have to be realizing that within the age of the church, there will be Antichrist. Antichrist, this isn't a... sometimes people often think of the devil is going to come back and gather up his minions. And that's the Antichrist is plural. And there are multiple Antichrists. And he actually says here, whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ and seeks to draw you away from Him is Antichrist. They're liars. And they will be in your presence in this hour. In this hour. And he's writing to his children just simply saying, beware. In this last hour, in this age of the church, beware of those who are the Antichrist, the false teachers, the liars. And so you might be sitting there, and I want to give you clear direction because I see it so clearly in this text, of how do we know who the liars are? Well, John lays out for us three markers, three signs, three ways of acknowledging who the Antichrist, who the liars are. And I'm going to go through them real quickly here. Verse 19. They went out from us. They didn't really belong to us. If they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. What John is saying here, Antichrist liars are those who depart from the church. Now, by this, I don't mean people who leave the church to go to another church. Okay, that happens for lots of different reasons. That's not what John's talking about here. He's not talking about church hopping or shopping. We all go through seasons of our lives. We all move from place to place. Our children lead us into different areas, and sometimes that leads us into different... John isn't talking about finding the right church or people who's left this church. What John is talking about is people who have abandoned the faith. People who were once in the church, once people who were in our fellowship, in the fellowship of God's church, and then all of a sudden said, you know what? This whole thing isn't for me. This is a bunch of baloney. I'm going, and I'm going to abandon the faith. People who once profess faith in Jesus, as we did this morning, and then people who then deny faith in Jesus. Those are the signs of those who depart from us. And so the encouragement here is that despite our differences, despite varieties in opinions and beliefs, that if we're truly bound by our faith in Jesus, we are not driven out of the church because of differences that we have with one another. That we remain in Him and that we allow the Spirit to maintain and remain in us and bind us together. That we remain in Him. Sign number one is that beware of those who say they believe, but then they deny that they believe. And that's actually what he says in verse 22. He says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the man who is the Antichrist. Now, in John's day, this was actually happening in a by way of what people believed, that what they believed about Jesus was actually denying who Jesus was. There was a time, and I won't bore you too much with this, and since Ian's in college, he could probably tell you more about it than I can right here today. But in the days of the early church, there were groups of people known as Gnostics. And Gnostics were Gnostics were people, not just scholars, but people who believed that all matter, even the human body, was evil. Completely evil. And that the only way to escape the body was to live fully in the Spirit. And as a result in this, they couldn't come to terms with how Jesus could be the Son of God because they saw Jesus in human form. They saw Jesus as a physical body. They watched this man. They saw this man walk the earth. And so anything that has physical matter cannot at all be from God. It is evil. And so they believed that Jesus wasn't really human. That if Jesus was the Son of God, that if Jesus truly was from the Lord, that he should only seem, he only seemed to be human. He was not really fully human. This specific thing was called docetism, which is a Greek word for to seem. Jesus only seemed like a human being. Well, if Jesus really wasn't a human being, then how is it that we as human beings can be redeemed and resurrected to new life? This was the problem. It would deny the whole existence and the whole basis of our belief. And so these people, these Gnostics, were leaving the fellowship and denying that Jesus was truly the Son of God and leading people astray into a different direction. And John saying, beware of these people. They will lead you astray. And instead, he says, here's what you need to remain in. Remain in the truth of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let me put that in a way in which you all can could hold on to that. Basically, what John says here is, just stick with Jesus. Stick what you've been told from the beginning. He says that right there in verse 24. The message of Jesus when he started is still the message of Jesus today. The Jesus who walked the earth as a human being and rose from the grave is still the Jesus today living in heaven. And one day will come for us. And so basically, I hear John saying, stick with Jesus. Stick with the gospel. Stay rooted in the fact that Jesus actually physically walked this earth and taught the kingdom of heaven. And we have it right here for us. Isn't that cool? Stick with Jesus, the guy who died on the cross for you, forgiving your sins. Stick with Jesus, the guy who rose from the dead and gives you, he writes, even eternal life. And don't allow people to lead you astray by saying, Jesus really isn't who he says he is. And there are people who still say that today. Yeah, you know what, Jesus was a good teacher. He did some cool tricks, maybe. He was maybe a magician, but he's not the Son of God. He's just another guy who walked this earth and died. And many people even reject his resurrection, saying, well, you know what, his body was probably just taken out of the tomb by dogs and thrown into Hades, which was like the garbage dump in the area, and there's no remains of it whatsoever. That's why the tomb was empty, because it got devoured, it got stolen. And all the accounts of the resurrection were simply hearsay. Say what you want, but the day of Pentecost happened. The Spirit descended in the name of Jesus, and thousands were added to their number that day. So, stick together. Stick with Jesus. And then lastly, and I've already spoken about this, verse 26. John writes, "I'm writing these things to you so that you will not be led astray." What John is saying is, don't be deceived by the false teachers. Don't be deceived by false sincerity. Don't be deceived by crafty tricks or teachings. Stick to these three things. What God has done for you, He's given us light within darkness. Walk in the way of love to one another, and abide by the truth. Remain in Him. This is the message that John has for us today. Beware of the liars, of those who depart from God's fellowship, those who deny the faith, and those who seek to deceive us. Instead, let us remain together. Let us stick with Jesus. Let us live in truth. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for John and for his teaching for us. We thank you, Lord, for his warning. And we pray, Lord, that we would truly remain in you. And Lord, that if there are any words upon my heart that I have spoken today that is not of you, may we all quickly forget. Pray that we might always abide in you. Pray this in Jesus' name as we stand to sing in his name and to your glory. Amen.